Lord God, we just thank you for just allowing us to share in this moment of fellowship with you, Lord God. This moment of worship and praise. And Lord God, we thank you for what has taken place thus far. Lord God, we thank you for reminding us of how good and how awesome you are. Lord God, how you are ever present in our life. But Lord God, not only that, Lord God, but reminding us of how you have brought us through. And Lord God, for giving us a testimony. We realize that we have to go through tests in our life in order to have a testimony, to tell of how good and how great you are, to tell of the benefits of being in relationship with you. So, Lord God, we just thank you on this day. And we ask right now that you would give us eyes to see, Lord God. Give us ears to hear what it is that you were speaking to us so that we may apply it to our lives, Lord God, that we may go out and build up your kingdom as you have instructed us to do. And Lord God, when it's all said and done, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, glory, and honor that you deserve. Lord God, we thank you and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 In need of Pentecost. With so many things that are going on in our society, we expect the world to be united. But how can we expect the world to be united when there's so much division in the body of Christ? We can't possibly expect the world to be on the same page and to get along, as we know the ruler of this world is the enemy that we know as Satan. One who comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. One who causes confusion and divides so many people. We as the church, we as the believers, we as the children of God have a responsibility and a duty and an obligation to be united as one body in Christ. And here in the book of Acts chapter 2 on this Pentecost, it helps us to understand the importance of being united as people of God. Pentecost means 50th, and it refers to the Jewish feast that was held 50 days after the second day of Passover. It was called the Feast of Weeks, as well as the Feast of Harvest. And on Pentecost, it was a day of thanksgiving to mark the end of the grain harvest. It was a holy Sabbath day, and on that day, you would take two loaves of bread made from the new wheat and take two lambs, and you would wave them before the Lord as a thanks offering. Praising God for his grace and giving them a good harvest, people were expected and required to offer a free will offering to the Lord. On the day of Pentecost, we see here in the first chapter of Acts, Jesus was with them for 40 days. Then he ascended back to heaven. And 10 days after the ascension and 50 days after the resurrection, the words that Joel and spoke and that John the Baptist spoke and Matthew were fulfilled. On this day, it was a set aside to praise the Lord for giving his people a great harvest. The Lord began to harvest the lost souls of this world through his church. The church would never be the same again, and the world and the church were changed forever. And there were some amazing things that took place on that day, and many people just focus on the miracles of the tongues on that day. But there were some other great things that took place. There were thousands of souls that were saved. And we cannot duplicate the events of Pentecost at that time. We cannot go to Jerusalem and enter the upper room and wait to be filled with the Spirit. Because those who have been baptized and have accepted Christ as their Savior have already received the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. We cannot duplicate the miracles of that day. The miracles are God's doing, and we would be foolish to spend our time seeking what was spectacular. And while we cannot duplicate the events of that day, we can duplicate the conditions that existed among the people of God on that day. We can see the Lord move in our midst in power and glory in these days, just as he moved in those days. And I believe that we need another Pentecost. Amen. When we create an atmosphere like the one that existed in the church on that day, we will see him move in power among us in these days. One of the striking characteristics of the early church in the day of Pentecost was that they were together on one accord. That word accord means to have one mind. These early disciples, all 120 of them, which we find listed informed in the 15th verse of chapter 1, they were united in their desire to seek the face of the Lord. Unity was the calling card, if you will, of the early church. And it should be the same mark for us as well. And if we want the Lord's presence and power in these days, then God's people are going to have to walk together in unity. I believe we need another Pentecost. We need a move of God in these days like the early church enjoyed in those days. But if that is to happen, then there must be unity among God's people. And here in the first part of Acts, it helps us to understand the type of unity that they had in those days. If we take a look at the first chapter, verses 4 and 5, it helps us first to understand that they were united in purpose. Verses 4 and 5 says, while staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with or by the Holy Spirit not many days from now. They waited on the Lord together. Same trait should mark the church. Philippians chapter 1 verse 27 tells us that we should strive together. That word strive means to work together as athletes, if you will. And we have to understand that in the body of Christ that we are a team. We should be working together for a common purpose. We are to work together for the glory of God, carrying out his will into all the world. And we have to understand that as a team, we all have different functions, but we should all have the same goal, which is to glorify God in all that we do. We have to be careful not to get caught up in the antics of what others may think or what others may do. We have to do what we've been called to do. And we have to live the life that God has called us to live. We may have different ideas, we may have different opinions, but once it comes to a consensus, once that consensus is reached, we should break out of our huddle, if you will, and stand together against Satan. And again, Satan is the one who tries to divide us, but Christ is the one who comes to unify us. They were united in purpose. But if you drop down to verse 14, it helps us to understand that they were united in prayer. Verse 14 of chapter 1, it says, all these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. They prayed together. They prayed with and for one another. And there's nothing like building unity in a church other than carrying one another's burdens. If we're able to carry one another's burdens, there's something that helps us to bond together even more. Because if I'm able to carry your burdens and you're able to carry my burdens and somebody else is able to carry someone else's burdens, we tend to look at each other from a different perspective. A perspective of love, a perspective of help, a perspective of trying to look out for others' best interests. They were united in prayer. They were being willing to carry one another's burdens, as we find in Galatians chapter 6. That's a bond that helps us to develop what is needed to stick together in hard times. When we pray for others, we are less focused on ourselves and our own problems. If you spend your time praying for someone else, you don't have time to worry about what you're going through. You don't have time to worry about the struggles that you're having because somebody else is praying for your struggles. Somebody else is praying to help for the Lord to help see you through. They were united in purpose. They were united in prayer. But now we get back to the scripture that was read in chapter 2. They were united in power. Verse 3 says that while they were in that room, divided tongues as fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Imagine being in the upper room. You're hiding out. You're waiting as instructed by Jesus, and you hear the rushing of a violent wind, and you see fires of tongues just coming out of nowhere. And the fulfillment of what Jesus said is now taking place. It says that divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. They were united in power. The unity of the early church came about because they were all right, all in a right relationship with God, and they were filled with the Spirit of God. This unity produced amazing results. They were able to preach the same message. Not only were they able to preach the same message, but they believed the same things, they carried the same burdens, and they loved the same things. And that helps us to understand the importance of being united in power. One of the issues that we see in the modern church is that the members are all in different stages of spiritual development. Some people are saved but immature. Some are saved and growing. Some are saved and spirit-filled. And some are not even saved. And this diversity makes difficulty for the family and the body of believers. And there's no way around diversity. We just have to deal with it. But God's will for us, every single saint, is to be filled with the Spirit. And when you think about being filled with the Spirit, you think about being controlled by the Spirit. When he controls, when we allow the Spirit to control us, when we allow the Spirit to take over in our lives, there should be a difference that we see in our life. It's like being under the influence. Oh, y'all don't want to talk about that. Has anybody ever been under the influence of something that they shouldn't have been under the influence of? You begin to walk a little different. You begin to talk a little different. You begin to have a little boldness that you didn't naturally have before. Same thing about being under the influence of the Spirit. There's a certain way that we walk. There's a certain way that we talk. There's a certain way that we have confidence in our life because we're being controlled by the Spirit. And that's what God wants us to have in our life. That's why he sent us the Holy Spirit, to comfort us, to guide us, to lead us, to remind us of how good God has been in our life.
Yes, yes.
They were united in power. They were all on the same page. And everything that they did together in unison. They lived together. They ate together. They worshiped together. They ministered together. And that's what we have to take in mind as we continue to move forward as believers in the body of Christ. So they were united in purpose. They were united in prayer. They were united in power, but they were also united in performance. We take a look at the latter part of verse number 4. And it says, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. It says, all were filled and began to speak. Everybody was doing something. Says that the tongue of fire rested on everyone, that they were all filled with the Spirit, and they all began to speak. Nobody sat back and said, that's not my job, that's not my duty. They all got to work because they were filled with the Spirit. God saved us all, not for us to sit down on our assets, but he saved us all to serve. If you look at James chapter 2, James chapter 2 helps us to understand that faith without works is. And if we don't have faith and couple it with our works, our faith isn't real. We can talk a good game. We can say that we have all the faith that we have in God and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. But if we're not doing any works to back up the faith, then we're just talking a good talk. But God wants us to get to a point in our lives as believers that we not only talk a good talk, but we walk a good walk. God is looking for us to bear the fruit that he wants us to bear. We've been going through this in Bible study week after week, and he's trying to help us to understand that the more fruit we bear, the more evidence that it is of us being in relationship with him. Not only more evidence of being in relationship with him, but it helps people to understand the benefit of being in relationship with him. Our task, whatever it is, doesn't matter how small or insignificant people may think it is. But we all have a task that we have to fulfill for the church to be successful. Doesn't matter if you're just a prayer warrior. It doesn't matter if you're an usher. It doesn't matter if you're just singing in the choir. It doesn't matter if you're serving breakfast on a Sunday morning. We all have a purpose and a task that we have to fulfill. That's why here at Second Liberty, we did the ministry interest survey. And if you didn't, turn it into Christian education. Ministry interest survey, not only that, but the spiritual gifts assessment, so that we can see our strong points and our strengths and where we can fit in ministry the best, so that we can do what we need to do to glorify God. God saves us so that we can do some work. There's no point in being saved and just sitting back and trying to dictate what other people should be doing. If we're not willing to do our part, if we're not willing to do our task, then what's the point of being saved? What's the point of being in relationship with God through Jesus the Christ? And the question we have to ask ourselves, are we doing what God wants us to do? Another question is, are we doing all that we can do? Are we living our lives in a way that God would be glorified? Are we living our lives in a way that because of us being unified, or because of us coming together on under one purpose and under one cause, our lives being changed? And that's what was going on in the early church. Again, they were united in purpose. They were united in prayer. They were united in their power that they received from the Holy Spirit, but they were also united in their performance. We need another Pentecost. We need another Pentecost in this day and time, because there's so much reckless behavior that is going on. There's so much that the enemy is throwing our way and trying to divide us and break us up. But if we come together as people of God and we live the life that God wants us to live, then lives will be changed. Lives will be saved. And we can look back over our time, and we can look back at the time of the early church, and just like on that day of Pentecost, thousands of lives can be saved. Thousands of lives can be changed. But we have to be willing to be willing participants in what God allows to take place. They were willing participants. Again, they didn't just leave it to happenstance. They didn't just leave it to God to do all the work, but they decided to take the opportunity to make a difference in the world. We need a Pentecost. And there are many of us who are willing to do the work. There are many of us who are willing to step out on faith and live the life that God wants us to live. And if we just all do our part, if we just all stay in our lane and do what we're strong at, and live our life according to God's will, imagine the difference that we can continue to make in this world. Again, they were filled by the Spirit so that they could go out and do the work and make a change in the life. And I was looking something up by Pastor Tony Evans, and he talks about the American experiment. And he says one of the greatest experiments in this world was the what is called the American experiment. And he says it's unique because it's of its intentionality to bring people from all walks of life, from every nation under the banner of a single flag, and to intentionally seek to bring across to these shores people from all kinds of other nations who would make up a union called the United States of America. Says this experiment brought people together who would pledge allegiance to a single flag, even though their backgrounds were different, they were unique and dissimilar. He says we can acknowledge our differences by annotating our original heritages to our current nationality with terms like Irish American, Swedish American, Polish American, African American, or Hispanic American. He said the introductory phrase cites the uniqueness and the last word cites the unity. Think about that. The introductory phrase, such as Swedish or Irish or African, it cites the uniqueness, but the last word cites the unity. He says, whatever I am unique based on regarding culture, history, background or previous location, I am under the American banner. This American experiment was an attempt to make United States, to have a United States, even though the people seeking to be unified were totally different. And we think about the American experiment, but what about the Christ experiment? All of us, we come from different backgrounds and different cultures and different experiences, but we all should come together under the banner of Christ. Although we have our uniqueness, although we have our differences, we should be united under the banner of Christ. And that's what God was trying to help us to understand on this day of Pentecost. He was not focusing on the tongues. The tongues were just a vehicle to bring people together. And that's what we have to understand, because God said that he would bring in every nation, that he would bring in all people who were willing to come under one umbrella to be his children. And that's why he gave them the ability to speak in other languages, so that they could attract those people from different areas and different backgrounds and different beliefs. And that's what we have to be willing to do. We have to be willing to open ourselves up to the Spirit to speak a different language. And it might not be Spanish, it might not be Chinese, but it might be the ability to speak to a young person who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It might be the ability to speak to someone who's been strung out on drugs for many years of their life. It may be the ability to speak the language of someone who's dealing with alcohol or mental health issues. It may be someone who's willing to be open to speak the language of someone who's been taken to the margins of the society and feel that they have no voice. God is giving us an opportunity in this day and time to be led by the Spirit to speak languages that will attract people to the umbrella of Christ. It's our duty, it's our obligation, it's our responsibility as children of the Most High God to take advantage of what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in our life. That's why Jesus came, to save us, to provide us with salvation. That's why Jesus came through 40 and two generations to come see about God's people. That's why Jesus came giving sight to the blind and raising the dead and performing so many miracles, because he wanted us to be able to see what it was like to perform ministry. But not only that, he wanted us to see how we could get along with one another. But he also wanted us to be reconciled unto God. And that's why he took on the sins of this world. That's why he was willing to be beaten for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities and be placed on that cross. And as the choir sung, that I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So God has given us an opportunity to have another Pentecost. God gives us an opportunity each and every day to do some work that is going to build up his kingdom. And if we're not doing the work that God has instructed us to do, we have to ask ourselves, what work are we doing? And whose side are we on? We are in need of another Pentecost. So as we stand across this place on today, we just thank God for the opportunities. Of a Pentecost. To be open to the possibilities. Of changing someone's life. We come across so many people in our past. That we don't know what they might be going through. We don't know if they might be saved. And in relationship with God. But we have an opportunity each and every day. No matter where we go, whether it's to the store, whether it's to work, whether it's to school, whether it's to the gym, wherever we go in our life, we have the opportunity to be led by the Spirit.